Praise God. It's another good morning that God has given us to listen to his word. Trust that you are well. The Lord is keeping and watching over your life. Indeed, it takes the grace of God and his mercies. And we've been learning about from the book of 2 Corinthians. And one of the things that we've been able to see yesterday is how Paul was trying to show them that he is indeed a true minister of Christ, and he has all this evidence and all this character. He has gone through trouble, he has suffered for the sake of Christ. In one way or another, he has faced labors, he has been in trouble, he has been sleepless for their sake, he has been in fastings, he has been in distress, he has been in, in all these troubles, but also beyond that, he has also lived a life of character where he has lived a pure life by purity. He has had by knowledge, he has been patient, long-suffering, by kindness and by the Holy Spirit, and sincere love. So we can see that there are things that make him up, but also, he also acknowledges on the other side that in as much as he did this, there were also those who still dishonored them. There are those who gave evil reports instead of a good report. There are those who consider them deceivers. There are those who would actually be handing them over to death and all this. But in all this, he knew one thing, that this is the journey that he has been called to, and he is committed to them. Being their father in the Lord, he was giving them an example and sharing in their suffering and trying to show them that, you see, there is a life that you must live, and that's a life that is sold out to God. And so today, as we carry on in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and we'll start from verse 11, we will see that he starts to urge them to be separate, or rather to be holy, and to be the kind of people that God will receive, the kind of people that God acknowledges as his own, as his sons, you know. And so if we read verse 11, it says, "O Corinthians, we have spoken openly to you. Our heart is wide open. You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted by your own affections. Now in return for the same, I speak as to children, you also be open." You know, one of the things that he was feeling is that, you know, the Corinthians had gotten to a point where they felt that, you know, that there was some blockage in their affections, in their love for Paul, and they were feeling that Paul has, you know, abandoned them. Why did he not visit them and all that? But he's trying to tell them, look here, it's for me, I love you. As a leader, as a pastor, my heart has always been open to you. But it is you that have not opened your heart. Now he addresses them as children and he tells them to be open. And then he gives them now guidance about how to live separate, or how to be holy. He tells them, verse 14, "Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty." So one of the things that he clearly tells him, that you see, as Christians, you must understand who you are. You must understand that you are light. You must understand that you are righteousness. You must understand that God lives in you. You must understand that you are of Christ, that you are the temple of God. And thus there is no way that you should be unequally yoked. What is being unequally yoked? When you put yourself to work, put yourself in business, put yourself in marriage, where you establish that you want to be united with someone who is not of the same faith or of the same understanding, and you want to move together in unity or in union to accomplish certain tasks, yet this is not possible. It's like having two altars speaking from different places and you expect them to be in agreement. And he's trying to tell them, think of oxen. If you place a strong oxen and a weaker oxen, it will break the stronger oxen. Why? Because the stronger oxen will be carrying a load that it should be sharing. And because one is weaker, then it destroys both of the animals and you will be unable to farm. And so he tells them, do not be unequally yoked. You know, the yoke that we are called to walk in is the yoke of Christ. You know, Jesus says, take my yoke and learn from me because I am meek and humble in spirit. You know, so he's the one that invites us to the yoke that he carries, because when we are co-workers with him, when we are with Christ, we are led by him, we are helped by him, and we know that this labor is not a labor of self, is not a labor of our own, but it is one where the Lord himself guides our steps, walks with us, encourages us, directs our steps, and we are guided by him. But there is a clear warning. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. You see, at times you find people are going into marriage and one person is not born again and the other is born again. And you ask the born again person, do you know the scriptures? Do you know what the scriptures clearly say? The mind of God. The mind of God is there should be no unequally yoking. Well, if you already married by the time you got saved, then there is no changing of that, because God does not advocate for divorce and he hates divorce, and he commands that if the unbeliever is willing to live with you, then you must stay married. And this is something that we looked at, some of the instructions for marriage. But if you are entering into that union, into that relationship, then you must be very keen to hear from God and to know that God's mind and God's matter on this is, do not be unequally yoked. You know, I always give this analogy that if you marry, then your families become connected. And you can think of it, if you marry an unbeliever, their father, who is their father? Their father is the devil. Their father is Satan. And for you, your father is God. And because you have a father-in-law, he can visit you, you know, and he has the rights to come and see you. So at the end of the day, any time we come into union, we must clearly use discernment to be able to know what kind of union are we bringing ourselves in, and by God to know that there can be no fellowship between righteousness and lawlessness. Remember, the Corinthian church were all having all these issues of eating food sacrificed to idols. And he has to tell them, look here, you cannot, there is no union between Christ and Belial. And there is no union between a believer and an unbeliever. And he says, what is the agreement between the temple of God and the temple of idols? And he tells them, don't you know that you are the temple of the living God? I tell you, anyone that starts to walk with this understanding that God dwells in you, you are a carrier of God. You are the place by which God's presence dwells in. You can think of like a conduit or a vessel or like a bottle. You know the way spirits take the shape or like water takes the shape of a bottle. Likewise also, God's spirit takes the shape and comes and lives in our spirits, in our inner man. And he gives us a measure of himself. He makes us like him. He makes us partakers of the divine nature by which we might share the great and precious promises. God never desired to only have one begotten son. Yes, Jesus was the only begotten son of the Father. But when he was resurrected, he became the first begotten and of the new creation. That's why if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Behold, the old has gone and the new has come, and all things are of God. That means that he that has accepted to follow Jesus becomes of God. Everything about him becomes defined by God. It becomes defined by the nature of God. You become the temple of the living God, and God dwells in you. And thus you cannot have union with works of darkness. You cannot have union with people who just live as they want. Remember, yes, we have a role to evangelize, but there is a difference when you want to yoke yourself. There's a difference when you want to go into union. There's a difference when you want to go into major partnerships. You can think of it, you want to enter a business and one party is okay with fraud and with bribing. And yet another party is very against it. And so there will be a clash of values, a clash of relationships, a clash of ideas. And this is not how God intended us to walk. So God in his wisdom tells us, he commands the church, he says, and God has said, I will dwell in them, God in us. That means God is with us, Emmanuel. I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. So he says, since you know you are God's possession, you are God's special people, he says, therefore, come out from among them and be separate. Yes, there is a time to be separate. There's a time to mark a boundary. There's a time to know that this is not for me. I cannot be just like every other person. As you learn this place where you set yourself apart for the things of God, then you learn to walk in the wisdom of God. You learn to walk in the power of God. You learn to walk in the authority of God. Because there are things that God has given for those that are separate. This is what we call consecration. When something was declared holy and it is made for God, it is consecrated. It belongs to God. It is holy and it can no longer be used for an ignoble purpose. It can no longer be used for an unholy purpose. Consecrated things remained belonging to God. And God is saying, look here, if you are my people, then you are consecrated. So there is a kind of life that you will not live. Think of the Nazarites. The Nazarites had a vow. They were consecrated to God from birth. They were not to take wine. They were not to cut their hair. They were not to touch dead bodies or come into contact with dead bodies. So you can see they were set apart. There was a mark on them that set them apart. Now we too, as in the new creation, as believers, we have the Holy Spirit that sets us apart, that makes us different, that gives us an anointing, that separates us from those that are of the world. You know, we are given a new nature, a nature of God. We are given a new way of righteousness and holiness. The Bible tells us, put on the new man, Ephesians 4:24, which is created in holiness, in true righteousness and holiness. That means there is a way that God has created the new man, that we are given the nature of God. We are created to be holy. But you see, even as we are created to be holy, we are commanded to be holy. 1 Peter 1:23 says, be holy because I am holy. There is a command for holiness. There is a command to be holiness. We are created in true holiness, yes, but also we are called, we are commanded to be holy. Put on the new man that is created to be like Christ in true righteousness, in God, created in God to be in true righteousness and holiness. There is a creation that God does, and that enables us to be holy. To be holy. When you are holy, then you set aside lusts. You set aside filthiness. You set aside a coarse joking, coarse tongue. You set aside the works of flesh. If you are stealing, you steal no longer. You know, if you are fighting, you fight no longer. If you are living a reckless life, you start living a life on order. If you are an alcoholic, you put that aside. There is a new man. There is a new nature. The Bible tells us that anyone that is born of God cannot continue to sin. Why? Because God's seed, God's divine principle, God's principle of life abides in him. And that nature of God does not make you comfortable with sin. I tell you, when you're an unbeliever, you are comfortable with sin and you could do whatever you wanted. But when you turn to the Christ, when you turn to God, then you became aware that this is sinful. This is where I stop. I cannot go beyond this. I know I need to stand. The command is very clear. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. The message of the grace is not supposed to be received in vain. Grace does not mean that now you have a liberty to sin as you want, or that I am forever forgiven. No, the grace is an enabler to live a righteous life. So it's no longer about that, oh, I can do whatever you want. But there is a way that you walk in the new man. There is a way that you walk in righteousness and holiness. And God has said, I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters. So when we be separate, we experience the love of God. And let's maybe just look at one verse, the next verse of 2 Corinthians chapter 7, and which is verse 1, where he says that, therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves, or let us purify ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. There is a way by which we live holy. There is a way by which God helps us to live lives that glorify Him. And He tells us that you lay aside, you cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh, of the sinful nature, and also any filthiness that will contaminate your spirit. You know, there are things that contaminate your body, but there are also things that contaminate your spirit. And it says, perfecting holiness. There is a way that you can perfect holiness. And how is that? In the fear of God. What is fear of God? That conscious presence of a holy God. Conscious awareness of that there are things that you cannot do because God is holy. There are things that are not right before God. And by knowing that, then you don't do them. You stop as you learn to perfect holiness in God. Then you grow in the new man and you are cleansed and you stay in the right place. So God's command to us today is, be separate children of God, and I will receive you. One of the greatest reasons why we believers don't see the power of God is just that we've not yet consecrated ourselves. We've not yet given ourselves enough to God. And there are things that God will not commit to those that have not journeyed on this path of consecration. Find God. He says He will be found when you seek Him with all your heart. Seek the Lord while He may be found. He is not as far as we think. Our Father and Lord loves us. Let us pray. Heavenly Father and Lord, I thank you for your word. Thank you for speaking to us, calling us to be separate, O God, that indeed as a holy nation, as a people belonging to God, as a royal priesthood, you've called us into holiness. You've created us in true holiness and righteousness. Indeed, you are holy. You are set apart. You are high and lifted up. and you command us to be holy as I am holy. And indeed, we perfect holiness in the fear of God. I pray for a perfection this morning. For everyone that desires to continue to know you, to hear your voice, to be guided by you, that, Lord, you cleanse their hearts, cleanse them from their sins, where they have failed, where we have failed, where we have fallen short of the glory of God. Forgive us and show us mercy. And I pray for wisdom that indeed we shall be equally yoked. We shall be guided. We shall be in the right relationships, in the right partnerships, O God. That indeed in wisdom you shall give us ways in which we can move according to the divine purposes that you want of us, that you order us, you direct us, you guide us, O God. We put our trust in you. We put our hope in you. May your name be exalted and be magnified. Guide our steps. Watch over us, direct us, and keep us, O God. Your name be praised, be adored, and be worshipped. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Shalom, and have a blessed, blessed morning and day ahead. Bye-bye.